Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the Book of Life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Joshua and David had their worries, had their troubles in their day. But they knew no harm could overcome them when they'd kneel right down and pray.
Now, brother, read the Bible.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, March 4th, 2019. And before I go even a moment further, happy birthday, Mom.
Oh.
That's it.
That's so nice.
I won't
nice,
maybe say
Mark.
How old she is.
No, you won't.
But she's in good shape for her age. And she's out in Arizona and
oh.
celebrating today. So sending hugs and love over the radio waves to you. I know she, from time to time, listens on the archive programs link. My brother Stu, every single day.
You said that.
He faithfully listens and he critiques the program, sends me a text or an email every day on the program and something that I said or shared. And
that's nice.
Kind of always critiques it in a fun way. We have a joke ongoing with that.
Well, happy birthday to Mark's mom from all of us here in Central Illinois, Western Indiana.
Big shout out for Mom today.
Yeah.
Judy Burns.
There you go.
So, yeah. Happy birthday, Mom. Well, I'm excited for two reasons. It's Memorization Monday, which means we're into our third week, our third memory verse. How you doing, everyone? Do you need reviews? Should we work on a little review?
Sure. I've got the first two down.
Yeah, Genesis 1:1. That was a pretty good one. It's foundational. And we're reading them out of this book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert J. Morgan. You might have missed that interview. It was a couple months ago, but we've been reading his first like 8 or 10 chapters, building the case for why it's important to have God's Word in our hearts and minds and thinking about it, having it influence our decisions and so forth. And so the very first one was a foundational one. He talks about that. Who began it all? Who gives it meaning? Who gives it purpose? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he wanted that to be the very first and foremost verse for us to be aware of. And in fact, it's what, first 10 words of the Bible,
right
at the very beginning, Genesis 1:1.
And the first three words are important because they are the next week's beginning.
Yeah, last week with Dr. David Webb. So we had Bob Dickey a couple weeks ago, and that program is archived. Last week it was Dr. David Webb, and he taught on and shared about John 1:1 in the beginning.
Yeah.
Same as,
yeah,
as
it's a good
Genesis 1:1. Yep. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he talked about the importance of Jesus being the Word.
Right.
And some people struggle with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How'd that all work, and how do you have that dual nature? He's God, he's man, he's the Word. And so he really did a good job at talking that through. Well, as I was praying through and thinking, who would be a great one to do this next verse? It's John 1:14. Somebody came to mind, somebody that I dearly love.
Aww.
And I can say that he was involved in my wedding 5 years. Oh, it's March 4th, so 5 years, 2 months, and 4 days ago.
How many minutes?
Pastor Herb Coates, a dear friend, a great pastor. Many of you have heard him on occasion. I had one of his messages on the Monday and Tuesday editions of Mark and Friends.
I remember that.
Last year and the year before, different times. It wasn't just because those were good messages. I happened to be in the service that week and thought, this is a great message. And, you know, he shared on a lot. There's been a lot of other great messages. It's just with our programming format and other guests and so forth. But we haven't had you on for a while, Herb. So we're bringing you in person to share a little. And I also want to commit you and First Lady Cheryl to another time to come in, because I could probably spend the whole program talking about their marriage and the influence it's had on me.
Wow.
And how God used Pastor Herb in a unique way on a past Israel trip, and how he knew Holly and how that all came together. And oh, gosh. That'll be a story for another time. But why don't I start with getting the verse out for our listeners as a way of getting them alerted to this verse, and then we'll introduce him, and then we'll do a little reading, and we'll talk some more about the verse. But it's John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14.
Now, I just have to say to every listener who can't see, they can only hear, you did that from memory.
Yep. I've been working on these.
I saw it.
Anyone that knows or has tuned in for a period of time, I'm a little intimidated by Esther because she has such a quick memory.
Well, it's always good to be intimidated by your 9-year-old daughter.
Yeah, 9-year-old, soon to be 10. But she picks these up so quick.
Yeah.
So I've been working on some of these for about 2 or 3 months. Usually my practice is to look at about 10 of them at night. Most nights I'll just reiterate or go through them again because it's a little harder, a little more difficult or challenging. But we can do it, everyone. And
you just did it.
This one I've loved for many years. And one of the reasons why I asked Pastor Herb to entertain the idea of sharing and dividing it or talking about it is because I love it, and he also loves it. Mm-hmm. And so thank you, Pastor Herb, for being available, fitting us in. And Marianne will do a little formal introduction, and I'll probably ad-lib and jump in right along.
Yeah, but you do. It says, Reverend Herb Coates has been senior pastor of the Madison Avenue Free Methodist Church in Champaign, Illinois, since July of 2006.
That's right? Correct.
2006. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, he served as senior pastor in Vincennes, Indiana, Springfield, Illinois, and Lincoln, Illinois. He received his Bachelor of Arts degree in Religion and Philosophy from Greenville. I'll say that like a northerner. Greenville. Yeah, not Greenville. College in 1979, and his Master of Divinity degree in Asbury Theological Seminary in 83. Herb was ordained a deacon in the Free Methodist Church in 1978 and elder in 1984. He and his wife, Cheryl, were married in...
Woohoo! Okay, got to stop right there.
Okay,
First Lady Cheryl. I love calling her that. Herb and Cheryl, when I think of what pastors should be like, how they should be, their demeanor, their personalities, they're like the poster child. In my mind, they're at the doorway greeting people afterwards. She's the epitome of a loving helpmeet. Hand in hand, they're just perfect for each other. In fact, that's why I want to get them in to maybe talk a little about their marriage and
how
they met.
Are you listening,
Cheryl? Oh, she's a gem.
She knows I paid Mark big money for her.
Yeah. That's great.
But they're perfect in their role, their God-given talents, and complimentary on how both of them have unique gifts. Herb loving to divide God's word, to share it, to teach it, to live it out, and their marriage lives it out. And then just Cheryl, that hospitality and that caring and compassion. And I don't know, she probably has too many gifts to list them all, but a gem.
Wonderful.
Okay, where were we? First Lady Cheryl.
Yes. Cheryl and Herb have 3 adult children, Greg, Kyle, and Rachel. Herb loves the Lord, his family, and the people God has called him to serve. Mm-hmm. And it says here you have a hobby that includes reading and playing golf.
Absolutely.
Doesn't get to play much golf, though. I don't say it's a busy schedule.
Yeah. Got relegated to being a hobby. Huh?
And I'm glad it didn't mention how he's an avid Cardinal fan.
I don't see anything about that.
We won't go there because that might put a divide with some of our listeners.
And you also love being with your grandchildren.
Absolutely.
And you've done a lot of conferences, marriage encounters, many things listed here.
Yeah. And what's unique, each and every Sunday, his message that he delivers is always translated or put into Mandarin.
Yeah.
Holly and a team of people, because of the number of international, especially Chinese-speaking members and attenders of the Madison Avenue Free Methodist Church, while he's preaching it, it's being translated into Mandarin.
That is a great service your church offers.
Yeah, they have headphones on, and so they're hearing it at the same time.
Yeah.
So thank you for being with us.
And, oh, it's an honor to be with you. Thank
we're
going
to learn why you also love John 1:14 in a minute, but we're going to read from the book, Marianne will, 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart. So this is the author's spin take, why this is an important verse to have, and then usually with a memory tip or two.
Okay, so this is our third verse, John 1:14. The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed His glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. When was the last time you spent the night in a tent? It was last night. According to 2 Corinthians 5, we are currently living in the tents of our bodies, eagerly waiting Resurrection Day, when we'll receive permanent structures, our glorified bodies. Furthermore, we're told in John 1:14 that when Jesus took on flesh in Bethlehem, he pitched his tent among us. The Greek term for took up residence has reference to tenting. John 1:14 is arguably the Bible's greatest verse about the Incarnation. The Word, God the Son, became flesh, human, and took up residence, pitched his tent, among us. We observed his glory and saw that he was the one and only God the Son, full of grace and truth. The prologue of John 1:1-18, is one of the greatest introductions in the world of literature. The theme is Jesus, and the progression of thought is remarkable. In memorizing John 1:14, take time to study the entire passage using this outline as a guide.
And I should mention, the author, Robert J. Morgan, has often said, get the whole context. So yes, we're working on one specific verse, but it never hurts. In fact, he highly recommends, get the whole context, read the verses before, the verses after, get the setting, get the theme, get the intent.
Know what
spend
you're
a little
saying.
More time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Number one, Jesus is the God who made us, and that is verses 1 through 3. He is God, existing from the beginning and through whom all things were made. Number 2, he is the life who sustains us. That's verse 4a. In him was life. Number 3, he is the light who illumines us. Verses 4b through 5. His life is our light. It shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't overcome it. Number 4, he is the message who excites us. Verse 6 through 9. John the Baptist testified about him, and so can we. Number 5, he is the Savior who redeems us. Verses 10 through 13. All who receive him and who believe in his name are given the right to become children of God. Number 6, he is the friend who dwells among us. Verse 14, he pitched his tent here and tabernacles among us. Number 7, he is the Lord who surpasses us. Verse 15, John the Baptist said of him, the one coming after me has surpassed me, because he existed before me. Number 8, he's the Son who blesses us. Verses 16 and 18, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son has revealed him, and from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. And then here's a little set-apart section. The word incarnation means embodied in flesh. Dr. J.I. Packer wrote, the incarnation is in itself an unfathomable mystery, but it makes sense of everything else that the New Testament contains. Packer points out that the reality of the incarnation pervades the prologue of John. The Church of England reads it annually as the gospel for Christmas Day, and rightly so, said Packer. Nowhere in the New Testament is the nature and meaning of Jesus' divine sonship so clearly explained as here. And then there's a quote, Jesus is God, spelling himself out in language that man can understand. Samuel D. Gordon.
Okay, let me read the verse again from John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth. So, Herb, when I asked you about this verse, you have a busy schedule. You know, anyone that knows a pastor's workload, you know, hospital visits, board meetings, gatherings.
I grew up with a pastor.
And I learned this from Promise Keepers many, many, 20-plus years ago. Our expectations, they have to be great at this, great at the visual aids, great at getting the newsletter out, great at keeping the property. It's an unfathomable job with all the expectations, all the things you have to do. So every pastor I know is extremely busy, but yet you felt like this would be something that you could do, you could fit it into your schedule because you're passionate about God's Word, and this isn't just God's Word, this is the Word. This is about Jesus, the Word becoming flesh. So what gets you excited about this verse?
Well, you know, in different seasons of life, I find that different parts of this jump out at me. I've always been greatly impressed with this whole fact that God could become man. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I just think of just years ago looking in a fish tank, and it seemed like every time I'd feed the fish, they'd all go run and hide. You know, they just thought I was the enemy. And I thought, how could I let them know, look, I'm your friend. Here I am. I'm putting food in here for you. You ought to just, every time I put food in, you ought to just run on up and say thanks. But you don't. You run and hide in some seashell or something. And then it hit me. Well, that's really what God's done. Mm-hmm. You know, you think for a man to become a fish is nothing compared to God becoming a baby.
Right,
you know,
right.
I mean, so the power of the incarnation, that's always, I mean, that just keeps us on our toes all the time, just stretches us, and it tells us so much about the love of God. But honestly, at this season in my life, the part of this verse that is impacting me the most is the very last, where it's talking about Jesus being full of grace and truth.
Mm.
And I'm thinking in these challenging days, so many social issues and other kinds of things. You know, the church is always wrestling with this spectrum of purity on one end, maybe, and redemptivity on the other. You know, we have people in the church, well, we all fail. So how do we deal with these things? So whether it's an issue like divorce or an issue like abortion or some other kind of issue, to me, I think this challenge here, Jesus was full of grace and truth. And I think some people want to say, well, let's just make it all about grace and not hold forth the truth of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And other people want to say, I just want to focus on what's true and what's right. And they get real rigid about it, and they're not full of grace.
Right.
So I think of, you know, the situation when the woman was caught in adultery and came before Jesus, and, you know, and they're wanting Jesus to give the okay to have her stoned, and Jesus stoops down and writes on the ground, and he says, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And then you see this grace and truth, you know. And he says to the woman, you know, neither do I condemn you. So there's the grace, and then the truth. Go and sin no more.
Hmm.
So there's that balance. And so that's the part of this verse, I think, that I'm just trying to live with that because, you know, we have lots of different people in the church body. We got a lot of different people in the community. And I think I don't want to sacrifice truth, but I want that truth to be connected with grace always.
You know, it's interesting. Yes. In fact, in 13 weeks, you know, I have my list of my 100 verses in front of me, and this is a verse I've been working on. Mm-hmm. I think I just about have it memorized. It's Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. That concept, the throne of grace, it's Jesus' throne, God's throne. Mm-hmm. It's a throne of grace, and it's this very issue of extending love and grace to people. But God's throne is a throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Oh, wow.
And it's a special verse, but I'm looking at this part of the verse that you're talking about, that Jesus is full of grace and truth, that he's God, he's Emmanuel, he's God with us, he's the representation, the perfect representation of God, and yet he's man, and he's full of grace and truth. And I like this part, we have seen his glory. So for somebody tuning in for the first time, unfamiliar with maybe the biblical account or this historical event that God came onto the earth, that Jesus came, and he was God, and as we spoke last week, he was the Word, he was God, but we have seen him. John could say, I saw him bodily in human flesh. Mm-hmm. We've seen his glory.
That's right.
You know, the things that he did, his activities, his healings, and yet his common things. He needed to sleep. He needed to rest.
I kind of always thought that when he said, we observed his glory, he saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? John did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And John.
Mm-hmm. He saw that
manifestation.
White
mm-hmm.
raiment of light.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, the Word became flesh. What was the word when you read this that it's unfathomable?
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that God, what do they say? We could chew on this all day long.
Mm.
The Word became flesh, this pre-existing. I mean, you know, it's beyond our words when we talk about God and things that are unfathomable, but that he... This Word, God, became flesh and made his dwelling. We talked about that.
Right.
That he enveloped into a human body through that miraculous birth through Mary, another mystery that's hard to ponder. But he came to his own. He came to this earth. And then John has seen his glory, that manifestation when God enveloped those clouds and they talked. And yet probably also just the glory of the fact that he did miraculous things that he probably when he spoke, I mean, it was like speaking with God. There's glory about him. Just his demeanor, his personality was glorious, I'm sure we could say.
Sure.
Any thoughts on that? We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only.
Right. Well, I think one of the things that we think of when we're talking about God's glory is just the very presence of God, the weightiness of his presence. And I like the way the Message paraphrases this, and it's not a true translation, but it says he moved into the neighborhood. You know, God has come among us in the person of Jesus Christ, you know. I think that's a good way to render it, whether it's a word-for-word translation. I know
right,
it's not.
Right.
Well, I know one of my takeaways here is going to be what you said, Pastor, about grace and truth. That is really powerful. And then you, that Hebrew scripture that says we can come to the throne of grace with confidence. And why do we have confidence? It's because of the truth.
Absolutely.
Of what Jesus did.
And he did it because he was following the Father's will to be that redeemer, that person that gave us hope. None of us could earn salvation. None of us deserve salvation. We can't ever work our way towards earning our way into heaven. It's because it's a gift. Because he came, he suffered, he died, he took that punishment, that sin that we've committed, and kind of removed it, if you will.
We can never earn grace, but we can live every day working on our salvation in this truth. That's kind of what you're going for there. I love
it. And that verse in Hebrews, the throne of grace.
Yeah.
We can go with confidence, not again our own confidence in our ability, but the ability that Jesus came and was that propitiation, he was
redemption,
that substitutionary.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. That's just, you know, that God sees fit to redeem any of us.
Yes.
Ooh, John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So he has enough portion for each and every one of us, each and every one of you tuned in today. God loves you. He extends his care and his compassion and his mercy toward you. Draw on him. Come near to him and he'll come near to you. I think that's the NIV rendering, but basically draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. He loves you. He cares for you and he wants to have that relationship with you, and so much so that he became man, if you will, dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory and we can live in that glory. What a great Savior we serve.
Amen.
Can we get an amen, everyone?
Amen.
Oh, I hear it all over East Central Illinois, West Central Indiana. Oh, I hear my mom even saying it in Arizona. All right. Well, that's our verse for the week. Let's work on it together. Let's live in that grace and that truth, the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one truth. And may all of our pastors continue to preach that, as you do, Pastor Herb.
Thank you.
If you don't have a church home, the service is at 10:30 on Sunday mornings, the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church on Mattis Avenue. And Pastor Herb, thank you for sharing.
Where is that on Mattis? Which, it's a long road.
It's about a third of a mile south of Kirby and Mattis.
Between Kirby and Windsor.
Okay.
Right in the middle there. Right next to that Helia Healthcare Nursing Home.
Yeah, I know where that is.
All right, everyone. Well, we got our new verse for the week. Let's work on it. Just one verse a week, and we have additional copies of 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart here at the Great News Radio Center. So pick up your edition, $10, and join us. Also, sign up online for the Memorization Monday Challenge. We'll keep you updated on special guests that we'll have in the days ahead. An eventual potluck and some other gathering.
I was just going to say that. I didn't know if I should.
Yeah. We'll have some kind of potluck.
I always bring up food. It's a problem.
All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Pastor Herb Coates with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.